Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're close, Trev, to wrapping up the 2018 NFL Draft, putting our finishing touches on all of these draft classes. We've got the AFC South today, the AFC West tomorrow, Fan Friday on Friday, and then we got to start peeking ahead and also looking back. I know we want to examine some of the past draft classes and where they've left teams and who's drafted well, what positions, and all kinds of stuff like that. So tons of fun topics coming up over the summer that I think people are going to find unique listening. I don't think they're going to have heard those kind of topics everywhere else. But first, before we get into the AFC South today, did you read my Avengers comparison piece to the 2018 quarterback class?
No, I didn't. Probably because I'm a bad friend.
Probably, yeah, but you should still, even in the event that you are.
Who do we get? Are you allowed to talk about it, or do we got to read it?
It's over at ndtscouting.com. The explanation.
All right. So who did you
sell
link? Who did you link where?
Well, let me. What do you think? I mean, go through the quarterbacks in the class. Let's start with Sam Darnold. Who you taking as a comp for Sam Darnold? Who do you think makes sense? I'm putting you on the spot here.
I don't know if you can put me on the spot like this. This probably took you like a bunch of thought.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I spent most of the day yesterday thinking about this. Yeah, yeah, probably.
Okay, so you can't ask me to answer it in 2 seconds.
2,500 words. No big deal.
And go. I can do John's job way easier than he can.
May have taken the idea and run with it a little bit far, but I had Josh Rosen as Thor. I had Sam Darnold as Captain America. Josh Allen as the Hulk. Lamar Jackson as Spider-Man. And Baker Mayfield as Iron Man. And then I had Kyle Laletta as Hawkeye. And I had Mason Rudolph as War Machine. Yeah. But to get the full force of these comparisons, you're going to have to read. Because I go into
some right off the rip, I don't hate any of them, so it's good.
Good, because they're all great and perfect.
I didn't hate any of them.
Carry on.
I think the one that I probably disagree with the most is Sam Darnold, Captain America.
Really?
But I understand
that was the one most people agreed with. So this is interesting. Why would you say that one?
I mean, just because I don't think it's as, like, I don't see a
Sam Darnold's face just too fat.
Like,
too puffy of cheeks.
No, that's not it. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, because he's got that clean cut, traditional makeup. He's, you know, carries himself with that demeanor, denotes kind of an older, wiser player. You know, I think it's a pretty decent comparison for Darnold. I mean, I don't know who else Darnold would be. I think that one makes the most sense for him. Yeah, and also I like
hair being my Captain America. You know what I'm saying?
Jeez, oh my, the bias.
Just took a shot at everybody. Took a shot at everybody who listens with red hair. I'm sorry.
You could be Thor if you're. You could be another Avenger maybe if you have red hair. But Captain America, no, not Trevor's Captain America. But here's one of the comparisons.
You can't be Thor. We gotta keep Thor purebred.
Yes, that's true. That's
the blonde hair, blue eyes family.
Is there people. Who's the redheaded superhero? Wanda. Red's the Scarlet Witch or whatever. I forget her superhero name. But anyway, here's the comparison that really sold me on the Darnold Captain America connection.
Okay.
Darnold,
he was reading some Captain America scouting up reports.
Yes, I was. And I've been studying up on my Avenger movies and watching the tape, per se. And Darnold
watching the Cap tape,
watching the Captain America Iron Man tape. And Darnold is, you know, he's like reportedly all in on football, like, you know, no distractions. We didn't hear anything mentioned with him. You know, Baker Mayfield, people are like, oh, off the field stuff, or, you know, what might that look like with him? You know, Josh Rosen, he has other interests outside of football, God forbid. With Captain America, it was just it was just avenging. That's it. That's all he did. And I think he said that when he came back at the end of Age of Ultron, you know, Black Widow's like, you know, how do you feel about being here? Everybody else is kind of going off to do their own thing. And Iron Man's going to see Pepper and Thor's going to save Asgard. And, you know, they've got all these kind of subplots. The Hulk goes off, you know, because he thinks he's a danger to everybody else. So he goes off to do his own thing. And, you know, Steve Rogers is there ready to lead the next group. And he says, I'm home. That's what he says to Black Widow. He said, this is what I was supposed to do. You know, I'm an Avenger. That's it. And so to me, that comparison really sold it. That Sam Darnold all in on football, Captain America all in on avenging. Yeah. So I just pretty much blew your dismay out of the water with that.
No, you're right. I would rather you nicely put it as convinced me otherwise rather than me being wrong. But yeah,
you got sure. smoked. Okay. You got smoked. You were on the other end of my Stormbreaker. Let's put it that way.
Oh, geez.
Doesn't sound good when I say it like that.
It's too far, bro.
Let's talk about the Colts draft. Quentin Nelson, home run pick at number 6, right? I mean, come on.
Speaking of an Avenger, Quentin Nelson.
Oh, my goodness. He could be all of them rolled up into one. Quentin Nelson's probably Thanos, honestly, if we're just comparing. Like, he just destroys everything. He could snap his fingers and all 11 defenders would go down. I just don't know what
that is. A good point. No, I think we went over this when we were doing our, I can't remember if it was like day one or day two recaps or something, but I was like, I love Quentin Nelson. He was my number one overall player, but I was thinking for the Colts. So I was like, man, they need so many things on that roster, so many important pieces that I was like, man, a guard for the Colts. But now that I look at the entire class, I guess I'm okay with it because they did address the edge a little bit later. They addressed the offensive line again, which I think, you know, I believe doesn't leave a lot of holes in what they do. And so I think this year more than any other year, not just with the Colts, but with a lot of other teams, I've tried to be very conscious of a draft class as a whole. I know we like to, hey, you know, round one grades. What do you give this team in this pick? And some things go into that, how good you believe a prospect is going to be. But in terms of judging an entire draft class and judging how good a guy might fit, you really kind of got to wait for the entire class. You got to wait for draft weekend to get over with. You've got to be able to look at the class as a whole. And when I did that with the Colts later on, saw some of the other things that they addressed and they were able to complement the Quentin Nelson pick with, I was a lot more on board with it. So I think they did a good job. And so, yeah, you know, anytime that happens and you're getting my number one overall player at number 6 on the board, I'm cool with it. So yeah. Quentin Nelson, I like the first pick, though.
That was a money pick, no doubt about it. You got to protect Andrew Luck. You got to run the ball better. You know, it's pretty simple. He's on the board, best player in the draft. Jacoby, you don't need a quarterback. Andrew Luck's not gonna play. Yeah, I swear, dude, I have me so triggered. Every time you mention Andrew Luck never playing again, it ruins the rest of my day. Because all I think about is what if that happened and we were deprived one of the best prospects in the last, maybe in history, maybe in NFL history, definitely in the last 20 years. I need him. I need him to come back.
Sucks.
So hold your tongue. Darius Leonard at 36? Okay. I mean, huge reach in my opinion. Braden Smith at 37? It's at least a round reach and you already took a guard. You want, you know, you have a roster with a ridiculous amount of holes. You already re-signed Jack Muhort and you signed Matt Slauson to play guard. You have Ryan Kelly at center. And, you know, I just think with a roster chock full of holes, when two of your first three picks are at offensive guard, I'm not sure you're dividing up the needs of the rest of the spots on your roster and where you need to strengthen in terms of adding talent appropriately. And here's the thing, man. I get that Chris Ballard is in a terrible situation. I get that. Like, this is year two. This roster is still a total train wreck. There's like 5 legit starters across the offense and defense. It's absolutely ridiculous how bad a situation he was in. And if Chris Ballard ends up not being able to turn around the Colts, I don't know that that in and of itself, obviously the context of the situation would be important. I don't know that that in and of itself would be enough for me to say, I don't want to hire Chris Ballard anywhere else, or I don't think he deserves another shot at being a GM because the situation is so bad. I think he could fail in Indy and still ultimately succeed as a GM somewhere else. This is a rough gig.
I think there's got to be a 5-year plan for him, right? Like, at sometimes least, GMs get 3-year plans. But for him, it's got to be a 5-year plan.
I think,
right?
that's a good way to put it. But like, let's say the Colts don't get better over the first 3 years of that 5-year plan, and the young talent he's drafted, especially if he's going to continue to ignore free agency for the most part.
Well, sure, if the young talent starts to suck.
I mean, that's what I mean. If last year's draft class, this is a big year for them. You know, say we want Quincy Wilson. You know, obviously I get the last regime didn't like him. We'll see if this regime does more. He's got to basically be a number one corner there. You know, that may, I'm not saying he can't struggle this season, but he's got to show that he can be a starter. Like, they've got to hit on that pick. They've got to hit on some of these guys. Terrell Basham, he struggled last year. They've got to hit on him. That's got to look like a good pick. Nate Harrison played a little bit as a fifth rounder, more out of necessity than anything else. Not re-signing Rashawn Melvin after he had such a good year last year, even for an affordable contract. He signed with the Raiders for 1 year. That's a guy you have to have back in the fold. He's still young. He's developing. He had a good year. I just think you have to land somebody like that. You have to keep him on your roster. You know, and when they don't do those things and they aren't active in free agency, then you have to nail your draft picks. You make it harder for yourself because it's harder to project how some of these guys will turn out. And when you're taking raw guys like Darius Leonard at 36 overall, you got to nail your picks. I think that Ballard had an okay draft. I like Kamoko Ture. I like some things Tyquan Lewis does as a nickel rusher. Nyheim Hines in the fourth round was a great pick. I just don't think he had a good enough draft. I think there's going to be some starters from this group. Nelson will be a star. Leonard, I think, will be disappointing compared to what he should be for given who was on the board and at number 36 overall. And I think that, you know, Ture's got to stay healthy. That's a big risk to take at 52. As much as I love Ture, he didn't produce. He was rarely healthy at Rutgers. That's a big issue, man. When you need pass rushers and you got to hit up. Those four second-round picks, man, Leonard, Braden Smith, Kamoko Ture, Tyquan Lewis, going in, those picks, 36, 37, 52, and 64, had to be hits.
Sure.
Everybody knew they'd hit on Quentin Nelson.
Sure.
Or whoever they took at number six. Those four had to be hits. Right. At least three out of those four guys got to be really good starters.
No, I agree with you. No, those second-rounders are part of making and breaking it. So.
Yeah. I just think that it's a good draft. Is it a good enough draft for the worst situation in the league for a GM? It's a high standard, but I'm not trying to, you know, sugarcoat it either.
I think this is a scenario where it's like you know, we obviously host a draft show, and so like we like to talk about draft grades and how we think these classes came out and how we think GMs did and all that stuff. But like, I guess for Ballard, like in this sense, these four picks in the second round truly are. I guess we just have to see if they ended up panning out the way they need to, because that's just the way it is. Even if they would have picked players that we would have liked, I think the situation would have still remained the same. And it's like, well, I mean, now they got to do it. Like they might not get a free pass just because they picked players that we liked.
Sure.
I think it's just very much this all has to play out and it has to work. So, I mean, like if Darius Leonard, a guy who we thought was overdrafted, if he works for them, I guess that's it. You know, that's all that matters.
So. I think that Leonard and Lewis wind up being average, potentially below average starters if they reach that point. I think Braden Smith will be pretty solid. And I think that Kamoko Ture has a chance to be really good, or he could be a total bust because the injuries could be too. I mean, the injuries and lack of development as an all-around player could take its toll on him. You know, and I mean, I was a fan of Ture, so I like the pick. And the other thing, you pass on Harold Landry, you know, three times if you count Quentin Nelson pick, but, you know, twice in the second round you pass on Harold Landry when clearly pass rush,
right,
Ture and Lewis.
That's not great.
That's clearly a priority.
That's not great.
Right, and now Landry's playing in your division, so you're going to have a
Harold
chance.
Landry must have had some serious narrative problems.
Titans still traded up.
Because, like, the Colts of any team needed him.
Right. He's a perfect fit, and they didn't get him. So, I mean, that's going to be one that you look back on for sure. If Landry goes on to be a stud in that division, they're going to look back on that one. Because clearly pass rush was a priority. They took two with their next two picks. But I just would argue it wasn't enough of one. So, you know, and I like their day three picks. I think Deion Cain has a chance to be. I mean, the funny thing about Deion Cain and Durie's, is it Fountain? Fontaine? Whatever
yeah.
It is. Fountain. We're going to say Fountain. The funny thing about Fountain and Cain is that both of them were like a fifth and sixth round pick. But they're probably going to start in Indy. The only receivers they have that are even worthy of an NFL roster spot are T.Y. Hilton and Ryan Grant. So one of them is going to be the third receiver right away. I can't see any other way. I mean, unless somebody I never heard of emerges from that group. But So even being a fifth and sixth round picks, that's the thing about this Colts draft that's different than everybody else. Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins are going to probably get most of the carries. You know, Marlon Mack will be in the mix, but both those guys will get a ton of carries this season, probably especially Hines, you know, in a day three pick. Mm-hmm. Matthew Adams and Zaire Franklin are seventh round picks at linebacker, but they have the worst linebacker group in the NFL. I mean, they could legitimately see time. They'll probably back up Leonard and Anthony Walker from last year, but forgot about Antonio Morrison being there. I'm sorry. Gator great.
He's bad.
So the Texans, or the Colts basically, in my opinion, had an impossible situation, but the reality is that we're not trying to sugarcoat what the job that they have to do. You know, if you don't do anything in free agency and you stockpile draft picks and that's how you want to build, you got to hit on all of them. And I thought they were average at doing that in this draft. So we'll see how it plays out. What about the Texans? No pick until the third round. What were your thoughts on the group that they ended up landing? Justin Reed, Martinez Rankin, Jordan Akins in the third round. Seemed like offensive tackle was a big need, and they didn't really take one at all in the draft.
Yeah, I don't really like the Texans draft. I mean, like, I like Justin Reed.
Yeah, it's a great pick.
Reed, I wonder why he fell so far. I wonder what a bunch of teams did for, like, other defensive backs. So I don't really know what happened there. I haven't even really heard. Like, we've heard things about Geis. We've heard things about Landry, why they fell. But
well, remember, Reed, we talked like, about Reed like, was going to be the Cowboys pick. Justin Reed. Reed was going to be the Cowboys pick, remember? How didn't we say that when we were doing the NFC East drafts?
That yeah, just, but I mean, he wasn't.
Right. But so, Connor Williams was off the board. So there were teams that liked him that high, I think.
Yeah, but like, when did Connor Williams get picked?
50, and then Reed got picked at 68.
68? You're telling me 18 spots? Yep. So they were the only team that would have taken him there?
I think it like, yeah, there's more to it than that, you know. I mean, with team needs and things like that, you know, it does get a little
more complicated. Yeah, but I mean, if a guy's good, he's good.
Right. Depends on I mean, certainly him going to 68 is definitely an indicator that teams weren't as high on him.
I mean, we were. I mean, did we not think that this guy was a guy who could have possibly gone at the end of the first round, especially to a team like the Steelers,
for
right?
Sure, for sure.
So then, like, so no matter what team needs lines up, him lasting all the way to 68, you kind of got to go, what happened here?
Right.
Like,
I mean, as high character a guy as it gets. So I think that it was.
I don't love Martinez Rankin, so I didn't love that pick.
Yeah, I didn't.
Jordan Atkins is okay, but he plays tight end. Kiki is small. Duke Edgefor is good. I actually like this pick. I have no idea how he's a six round pick. Maybe y'all can help me with that. Jordan Thomas was a wide receiver at the East West Shrine game, and then they moved him to tight end because obviously
Edgefor was a six round pick because his arm fell off. And he didn't get to test, and he just hit coming off of surgery. Was it his labrum? I can't remember now.
I think it was Edgefor?
Yeah, Edgefor. He had torn labrum.
Yeah, but so what? Sixth round? You kidding me?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
it's too far. I would have taken Duke Edgefor in the third round, like no questions asked.
I think the big question with Edgefor was, is he an NFL caliber athlete? And he didn't get to show that in workouts, so I think that was part of the. I mean, I'm with you. I had a third round grade on him, so
I would have taken Edgefor at 80.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this
if
that wasn't
the
even
Edgefor
a big
and
need
Martinez
for the
Rankin's pick. The drafts would have been looked a lot better to me.
I also like Columbi, the guy they took in the sixth round. The problem is not necessarily who the Texans took.
I don't know
who they didn't take. Like, is Rankin
right.
going to
no,
play tackle
like zero lineman?
Because they introduced Rankin as a center, I believe. Nick Martin's a center right now, but he can play guard. I mean, this is their offensive line. Julian Davenport at left tackle, dear Lord. Zach Fulton from the Chiefs at left guard. Nick Martin at center. Jeff Allen at right guard. Chantrell Henderson at right tackle. The cast off. I mean, I don't know, man. It's like the worst offensive line in the league, right? I mean, it's horrible. Nick Martin was average.
It's like anytime you get a running QB at all, you just think you don't need an O-line.
Right. Now I like
Russell Wilson. Nah, we don't need an O-line.
I think Kalamete came over from the Saints, and he played really well last year, especially in the run game. But you know, I mean, Greg Mann's probably figures
who runs
it somewhere.
The football anymore.
Yeah, it's a lost art. I don't know. I just think that the Texans didn't get good enough on the offensive line. They had opportunities to draft tackles. Jamarco Jones was sitting on the board for them round after round, and he ends up going to the other team that doesn't care about offensive line in Seattle. I don't know. I think that that'll be the big indicator whether they did enough. The rest of the roster is really pretty much ready to go. I mean, They've done a lot of good things. Corner's the one spot where you're not sure about. They brought in Aaron Colvin, though. You know, they need Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson, you know, on the wrong side of 30, but they need him to have another good year. Tyrann Mathieu's here now. I think Justin Reed's a big addition. They finally have two quality safeties. They've been playing with, you know, below average safeties for a while. So, you know, I think that's going to make a big difference. But, you know, there are definitely still holes there on the offensive line that didn't get filled and that I worry about. So I don't think that ignoring that position wasn't very smart, in my opinion. How about the Jaguars? The rich continue to get richer, right?
That's how you got to describe the Jaguars draft, because it was like, oh, they have a couple of needs here. Not too many, because obviously it's a deep playoff team. They have a couple of needs here and there, and they went, nah, we're just going to make our strength stronger.
Yep. Just going to take another defensive lineman with the crazy upside and, you know, a vertical receiver, which is kind of what they need. I mean, that's kind of what they do. They, you know, go short, play action, and try and hit one deep eventually. Yep. And, you know, Ronnie Harrison is, you know, a 93. I can't believe he lasted that long. I had heard reports that he ran a 4.61. I don't think it was published anywhere out there, but and maybe that had something to do with it.
I was lower on Ronnie Harrison than others, but certainly him going to Jacksonville, I think, fits really well.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought, I mean, I had a midday two grade on him, so it wasn't like I was crazy high on him, but, you know, in this class, I just didn't think he'd last that long. But 93, I think it's a great value pick. I think he can do a couple different things for you. Terrific run defender, can play around the box. You know, could potentially be.
Did you watch Will Richardson? Linebacker.
Yeah, I loved Will Richardson. I had a third round grade on him. I think he's a future right tackle if they want him to be. Or he could plug in a right guard. I think he could be right, the starting right guard for them. He definitely has that potential. So I would have figured him more for a zone scheme, though. I will be honest, that is a little bit surprising to me. If there's a struggle there, that may be part of it. NC State is like exclusively zone, and Jacksonville is like as gap power as it gets. So things are going to be interesting to see how that works. Tanner Lee in the sixth round. If we're just saying like the worst pick in the draft, regardless of like where they were picked or the value of the spot, horrendous.
Dude, he's a QB.
Horrendous. He's a QB. Terrible.
He's a QB. He's a QB.
Terrible. Inexcusable.
He was going to get picked.
He was drafted. Inexcusable.
He was going to get picked.
Still inexcusable. I know people talked about it. People talked about him going in the fourth round and stuff.
Hey, bro, Tom Brady.
Horrible. Tom Brady went 199, just four spots ahead of Tanner Lee. You don't know what he could become.
You know what else? You know who else won 199? Luke Falk. It's the magic number.
We're about to talk about him. Tanner Lee getting drafted made me want to vom. But Danny Etling got drafted a couple picks later, so I couldn't puke twice.
You know who else got drafted by the Patriots? Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
See
how it all works.
You don't know anything.
That's my favorite fan comment. On April 25th, they're like, what do you think of Tanner Lee? Do you think, you know, he's worth a draft pick? He's trash. Don't draft him. He's not draftable. He shouldn't even make it to a camp. Okay, yeah. Thanks. I appreciate your response. Day after, if they're a Jaguars fan, Jaguars draft him. You don't know what he could be. He could be Blake Bortles.
Yeah,
out.
You don't know what he.
Tom Brady went 199.
One of my favorite comments from this draft season was the guy saying, "You guys just trash on all the guys you don't like." Yeah. That's kind of the point here.
Trash is a strong word, them. But yeah, if we don't think a player is going to be successful,
we watch tape, order guys in the way that we would choose them, and then go off that. I know, hard to believe that we didn't like your number 245th overall offensive tackle.
It never ceases.
You guys don't know.
You don't know what could happen. You can't see into the future. You're not God.
Actually, clutch his gauntlet.
Well played. Leon Jacobs in the seventh was another good pick. High upside guy, 230, you know, at 230 overall. I just thought that was a great. And he's going to be a good locker room guy. This guy works his tail off. So I like that pick a lot. I think he can either develop as a backup linebacker, potentially they could use him as an extra edge pass rusher. I mean, if what happens with Dante Fowler remains to be seen, but they could need an extra guy off the edge. So, but I like that pick of him. I thought he would go higher than that, to be honest. So we done right, Texans, Colts, we got Titans. Titans, good draft, short draft, not a lot to say because we've talked at length about them already. After the Bears, Titans had my second favorite draft because they had two big holes. They recognized those holes. They moved up for two players I loved and nailed them both. Rashawn Evans, Harold Landry, first round, second round, thought they killed it. Dane Cruikshank in the fifth.
Rashawn Evans showed up to the draft looking like an R&B singer from a musical group.
Did you?
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay, go back. Google Rashawn Evans, NFL like. Draft.
I was at his podium.
Like what I was wearing. At his podium. Huh?
I was at his podium. Oh, the actual NFL draft. Oh, I was thinking the combine.
Yeah. No. No, draft so
his
night.
Red, his red suit.
I'm talking the suit he was wearing, the earrings, the no hair, like straight dome look.
Yep.
Like
he looked very
R&B.
Classy. Very classy.
Superstar. Yep. Rashawn Evans.
Classy. The Harold Landry going.
Not sure how that helps him play linebacker.
Oh,
but
it's going to help
it
him.
It might.
It's going to help him. He's going to make sweet music to a sad world with his linebacker play. Harold Landry's
going
to
do the same
thing
off
the edge.
By music, you mean hit somebody so hard their ears ring, then yes.
Yes, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Cruikshank in the fifth is a great pick, too. He can do a lot of what Cyprian can do and at less of the cost. And, you know, if Cruikshank gets it, he's got a higher ceiling. But, you know, mentally, he's got to know all his assignments and execute consistently technique-wise and everything. But I think he's a player that, you know, I would have taken even higher than that. And then Falk at 199, I mean, heck, you need a backup quarterback, man, whatever. I mean, the Titans didn't have a lot of holes. So I'm not going to yell about them wasting a sixth-round pick on a quarterback with a candy cane arm and no accuracy down the field. So I thought there Titans it nailed it. I thought that their draft as a whole filled the needs that they really had to fill to be a competitive roster. The roster's complete. Now, you can argue that they don't have the best players at every position, but if you look at the Tennessee Titans roster, you're not going to be like, oh, big hole there. They just didn't fill. Somebody who sucks is going to have to play there that's never played before, and you know they're going to have to overcome that. Like, there really isn't that. You know, their offensive line's played together for years. They're keeping the group together.
Sure.
They re-signed Josh Klein. Everybody in the offense has been there for a little while now. You know, the younger players, the receivers mainly, you know, this will be their second year for a lot of those guys. The offense is what I would expect Matt LaFleur to run is going to open a lot of things up for them. I just think that the Titans could be, I know they made the playoffs and even won a game last year, but nobody really thought they were a threat. I think they can be a legit threat this season. Now, I'm not saying they're going to beat New England, but I think they can be a legit threat. I think people are going to take them seriously because I think they're going to be that good of a team. So,
what a hollow compliment, John. Put your name on it. Say they're beating the Patriots. Tennessee Titans, AFC champs. John Ledyard, you heard it first.
I will say this. I would have bet my literal life that they wouldn't have beat the Patriots last year in the playoffs, and they didn't. And this year, I would not. I would not bet that because I think the Titans could
beat them. All right, okay.
So that's close enough.
Oh, no, I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take it.
AFC West coming up tomorrow. Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders tried to draft 30-plus old prospects and then didn't, then found out there weren't any in the class. Real disappointing for the Raiders. But nevertheless, we will cover them in their offseason moves. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Then Fan Friday coming up to end the week. Until then, guys, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.